Welcome to Talking About Singing, where we talk about singing. This is a podcast where we discuss and review albums, say what we like, what we didn't like, and just generally nitpick. To my north is Brendan Haley. In order to paint a mental image for the listener at home, he most closely resembles a young Samuel L. Jackson. Brendan, how's it going?
Oh man, it's going great, motherfucker.
Perfect. And to my east is Dylan Schemenauer, quite comparable to Tim Roth. Dylan, how you doing?
Good.
My name is Peyton Kaiser, often stopped on the street, people asking for my autograph because they think I'm Kurt Russell. So what are you going to do? Yeah.
How are you doing today, Peyton?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. Dylan, do you remember the movie that all those three actors were in?
Reservoir Dogs.
No, Tim Roth was in that. We saw it together, man. I think it was the last movie we saw together.
Oh, The Hateful Eight?
Yeah, Hateful Eight. Mm. I just take whatever movie I watched recently, and that's where I pull my similarities from, if you guys hadn't caught on.
I would have preferred like a Jamie Foxx comparison, but...
Over Samuel L. Jackson?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I mean... They're both, you know, fine and dandy. Samuel L. Jackson is more esteemed as an actor, I guess, but I like the versatility Jamie Foxx brings to the table, you know? Yeah. Not only has he been in a number of quality movies, I'm pretty sure he's been, like, had a top 10 single also.
Jamie Foxx. Oh, yeah. He did Gold Digger, right? Like, the chorus?
Yeah, he was on that. I think he had his own song. Like, he released his own album.
All right. Tying it back into music. Very nice.
This was a number of years ago. This had to be, like, 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, he's really busy doing, like, Electro in Spider-Man now.
Terrible movie.
Worst Spider-Man.
What? No. Was that the one with Topher Grace? As Venom?
That was the original Spider-Man 3.
That was trash.
That had Thomas Hayden Church in it. Or something Hayden Church for Sandman.
That was not good.
I liked it. We will not be talking about Jamie Foxx or Spider-Man today. This is the finale of the best album of 2017 we will be discussing. We, last week, if you missed it, started off our March Madness style bracket. We paired up a bunch of albums, everything we talked about so far on the podcast. And this week we are down to the final 16, which we'll probably get through the rest today. Crown a winner. What do you guys think?
Should be possible.
All right. Depending on how much we argue. So buckle in, get your predictions in mind, what you think should win. Yeah. Let's get into it. Northwest region. We have Pure Comedy versus Saturation 3, Control versus Going Gray, and that's it.
That's it.
That's it. All right, Pure Comedy, Saturation 3. Brendan, what are you thinking?
Oh, this is a tough one. These are two of like my top five albums of the whole damn year, and you paired them up this early in the game. It's okay, though. I'm going to have to go with Pure Comedy just because that is a perfect album in every sense of the word. Saturation 3, phenomenal. Brockhampton, the dopest boy band ever. But there's nothing that I don't find incredible about the album Pure Comedy.
Fair, yeah. There's really no tension quite yet when Pure Comedy's in there, you know? Mm-hmm. If any of the listeners remember the Pure Comedy episode, perfect 10 in Brendan's book. So it's going to be hard to knock. I don't know. Dylan, what are you thinking?
I guess I'm going to also have to go with Pure Comedy.
Yeah?
What? I'm shocked.
Yeah.
That was a close one.
Yeah, because I think, you know, Saturation 3, it's really good, but it still has some little tiny flaws with maybe, like, there isn't really good verses or there isn't really good you know, transitions or whatever, whereas pure comedy has just like overall has a really great production style and everything just, it's so fine tuned. You can tell that he spent a lot of time on it.
Yeah. Has your affection for pure comedy grown at all since we listened to it, Dylan?
No, still the same. Still about the amount of a pile of shit. But
oh, gee. It'll, dang. It'll well, that's saying something for Saturation 3. Yeah. So my vote doesn't matter, but I would also go with pure comedy. Truly something unique and bitter in a good way. It's like a grapefruit. If I had to compare pure comedy to a fruit, it'd definitely be grapefruit. Just kind of bitter, but like necessary at times.
It's good for you.
Good for you.
Vitamin C? Is there vitamin C in that?
It has something.
Pure comedy will prevent scurvy.
Right. Absolutely. And a lot of the, you know, human condition, if you really pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So pure comedy, moving on to the final eight. Wow.
I'm there genuinely surprised about that. I thought I was going to be on an island.
Oh, no. I didn't know which way Dylan was going. But either way, it would have made it.
Because when we reviewed Pure Comedy, Dylan was like, it's real good. It's solid. You gave it like a 7.5 or above, something like that.
Mm.
Yeah, I remember looking up a few of Dylan's scores because he's really the wild card, I feel. But yeah, I think Pure Comedy was the highest out of that region. I can't remember. I don't know.
Sure.
It was up there.
Definitely. I mean, you're right, Dylan. You picked Pure Comedy. That's the correct choice.
Yeah. But for the fuel for hatred that really keeps this podcast going, you're going to need to disagree more in the future.
Okay.
Just as like, yeah, an editor's note. Really get going. Start spitting crazy. All right. Let's try again. Control versus Going Gray. Dylan, start us off.
I think I like Control better out of both of these as a project, maybe not something that I listen to, but overall as a piece of artwork, Control has more appeal to me.
Solid.
Based on like stylistically what SZA's bringing to the table, like the R&B mixed with some trap in there, or do you identify more with a different aspect on that album? Because
well, yeah, the style, the production with like R&B and also the message, though I can't really relate to the message, I feel like she hits that message really well in this album.
She's got that real sexy voice too. I don't think that hurts.
Mm, that helps a lot.
Yeah. This one I had to think about more so than some of the other pairings. You have Control, which is definitely kind of going for more than Going Gray is. And both of these are really exceptional albums. I think I have to go with Going Gray just because I've listened to it so much and it's not any less personal, I would say, than Control is, but it's a whole lot more listenable. It flows very well. Yeah, I've given the edge to Going Gray here. So that's our first tie. Jeez. Brenton, why don't you break it for us?
It's up. It's in my hands. You know, when we talked about Control versus 92 Deluxe, I gave the nod to Princess Nokia on that, even though I rated Control higher initially. And, you know, in the comparison between Going Gray and Control, they're kind of on the same level. I think initially I gave the nod to Control. However, going back and reflecting on both of these albums as a whole, when I listen to both of them, I feel like they're ambitious. They're very current. I think what SZA's doing is definitely more accessible, at least on a, say, commercial, but maybe it's got more mainstream, more crossover appeal than what the Front Bottoms are doing with their kind of New Jersey sad boy thing they've got going on. But what I really love about the album Going Gray, if you view it in the context of the rest of the Front Bottoms discography, you can kind of see this progression in like their style, how they presented. They started out being this real stripped down band, and now they're throwing in like electronic drums. You've got a more grandiose sound coming out, and I think that that's what really does it for me, that sort of grandiose but also like real heady. They're very introspective. I find myself like relating a lot more to the stuff the Front Bottoms are talking about. You know, it's for me, and I think this is just coming from such a subjective place, I definitely have to give the nod to Going Gray on this matchup.
Ooh, I feel like that's kind of a hot take right there. It beat Control.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like there's going to be a big chunk of the listeners that are going to shit all over us for that, and I hope they do. Just to give, you know, feedback.
Right. At, it's cool. At Earl of Dongle on Twitter. D-O-N-G-L-E.
Please send me hate mail.
Yeah. I run the podcast Twitter, and I'm just trying to keep it friendly, you know? So send all your hate to Brendan. That's on him. He broke the tie. Although, yeah, that is, I would say, a solid choice, obviously. I went with Going Gray. It's just kind of surprising, especially with other stuff the Front Bottoms have done. You know, a lot of people said they were selling out, but I don't really think so. I think that's just the direction they wanted to go, you know?
I wouldn't say they're selling out, because they were never a band that would, I don't think they get any radio play at all. Like, who are they selling out to, you know?
True. Good point. Good point. All right. Well, that's the Northwest region. Let's hop over to Northeast, starting off with Damn and Drive It Like It's Stolen. Drive It Like It's Stolen beat Lil Pump. I voted for that one to move on. Solid EP. Really liked it. They're doing a lot of cool, fun things in there. Production is a little different. Parker's got some interesting stuff going on there in a way you don't really see a whole lot in hip hop, but obviously Damn is gonna steamroll over any EP that's put out. So I gotta go with Damn for obvious reasons. I'll get more into Damn later when we pair it up with other stuff. But yeah, this one's a no-brainer for me. Brendan, what are you thinking?
Yeah, as much as I liked the EP Drive It Like It's Stolen, I don't think it even should have beaten out Lil Pump, because that was a full album that I enjoyed equally. But yeah, Damn, on another level, in terms of, like, I don't know how I related to it. It's got the production on there that, I don't know, I hadn't heard from another Kendrick Lamar song. It's fresh, current. Kendrick goes hard on this whole thing. It's not only is it thought-provoking, but it is definitely the most accessible album he's come out with to date. It just hit that sweet spot of all the different things you could really ask for from a hip hop album. So I'm going to go with Damn also.
Very nice. Dylan, your vote does not count, or it doesn't matter. I don't know what the right word is there. What are you thinking?
I was actually also thinking Damn. It's great.
Good. Yeah. It's good. To keep a united front on some of these, to keep our credibility going. All right. Damn. Moving on. That was a pretty low stakes.
I feel like that's kind of the litmus test, you know? Like, I don't think we're going to find a lot of people that'll disagree on that.
Yeah. Although our tastes, us three talking right now, they're pretty diverse. I mean, I think each of us kind of looks for something different. I'm kind of middle of the road, which I think is why I wanted this on the air. All of my votes moved on last week, which I'm very proud of, except for Flower Boy. I voted for Ether. Ether did not move on, but everything else, very proud of that. I'm undefeated so far.
I mean, to be fair, how many times did Dylan spite pick against me?
Dylan, can you answer that?
None.
Huh?
Ooh, now there's spite. Ooh, there's spite there now. All right. Brick Body Kids, Still Daydream. I haven't said who any of these are from. You should know who they're from by now. Open Mike Eagle versus Big Fish Theory, Vince Staples. Brendan, back to you.
Man, when we reviewed Brick Body Kids, Still Daydream, I gave that a very high. But going back on it, I think that all the things I praised for it, the lyrics, the way that each beat has kind of its lo-fi, it's got real low-key album, especially in comparison to other projects we've seen from Open Mic in the past. But Big Fish Theory has so many songs that I keep coming back to. The production is absurd. It is dumb in the greatest of ways. Yeah, it's just got so many great tracks on there. Big Fish, obviously. You've got Yeah Right, which I think you described as the beat as disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't take credit for that, but I do love that description.
Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Yeah, there's so many quality tracks, and I would say half of them I'll just go back and listen to as a single, even without, you know, playing it start to finish. So I'm going to give the nod to Vince Staples with Big Fish Theory.
Very nice. Dylan, what are you thinking?
I'm going to have to agree, Big Fish Theory, just because I'm not too much of a fan of Kids Still Daydream. It's just not my type of style, that like super conscious rap type stuff. It's not my style.
Fair, yeah.
You're sleeping.
maybe I'll find something, but not yet. Hasn't hit me yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of you guys. This one, actually, Big Fish Theory is one of my personal favorite albums of the year. But when I went back and thought about it, like, I didn't have a whole lot of negatives to say about Brick Body Kids Still Daydream. Like, there's not really one flaw I can point at and be like, that I didn't really like. But Big Fish Theory had, I would say, a lot of just a lot of downtime in between the verses, which kind of felt strange on, I think it was only 40 some minutes.
Mm.
So that is one knock I have on Big Fish Theory. It felt like he was kind of, didn't fill up the album as much with lyrics as I would have expected, but the highs are so much higher. Just gets you pumped at times, makes you feel at times. Phenomenal album, Big Fish Theory, unanimously moving on.
That's another, Vince Staples is another guy that I could see making even bigger waves, no pun intended, in the coming year.
Yeah, he's...
Or do you guys think he's already there, up there with in contention with, like, you know, when you think of the top rappers, do you see Vince Staples as a guy that's already up there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not mainstream, but Yeah Right got some radio play. He's in a lot of those superhero commercial trailer things. Like, it's Kendrick and it's Vince Staples for like Black Panther, Lightning or something. I've seen at least three
Black Panther, and that's the entire soundtrack is from people that are signed to Top Dog.
Honestly
want to see that movie. I'm over superhero movies, but I would watch that because of the soundtrack. Any soundtrack that's got Kendrick, SZA, Isaiah Rashad, you got whoever the fuck else is signed to that label on there, it's gonna be tight.
Yeah, I think Run the Jewels was in the trailer too. I don't know if they're on the soundtrack, but yeah, I remember we were watching Spider-Man Homecoming and that came on.
Oh yeah, I think the song that Kendrick and Vince Staples made for that, was that just released?
Something about it. I saw some headline that Kendrick's like doing the soundtrack for, I think, Black Panther. I can't remember.
Sure. Yeah, and Vince Staples, you know, you'll hear people talk about game. I feel like Vince Staples does not get his due.
No.
Why is that?
I think he's just so...
He's young.
Young? What'd you say?
Yeah, young, and he's new. He's like, I mean, he's been here for, what, a year and a half, around 2 years. He's been, like, really known. More time.
Yeah. When Summertime 06 came out, I think, was that 2015?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So 2 years and a little bit and change.
But do you think he really got known off that album or that mixtape or album or whatever?
That was an album. I think that I don't know like how much he's climbed in terms of like the way I see it now, is that Vince Staples is making phenomenal music, but I feel like he's still kind of in the same level as Brockhampton, where it's like the people that are in the know, like they know, but as far as like the general, I guess, hip hop fans in general, I think by and large are sleeping on Vince Staples, which doesn't make any sense. He's got everything you're looking for. He's an intelligent dude. He's got like clever lines. His beats are fucking hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from. I would say most people who are kind of involved, not involved, but listen to hip hop on a regular basis know who he is at this point. But I mean, the general person absolutely does not. Like if you said Vince Staples, they would have no idea who you're talking about.
I want to live in a world where if you're like, who's Vince Staples, where like everybody knows and it's like, who's G-Eazy? And they're like, I have no clue.
Ah, that'd be so nice.
That's the America I want.
Right. Well, anyway. G-Eazy, he has like that grimy, you know, bad boy image that, not to be sexist, but girls kind of flock to a little bit more so than Vince Staples, who's like, the one interview I saw with him, he's like, just make your money, go home and stay there and put your money in savings. Like, it's not sexy, you know, his persona.
Drink Sprite.
Yeah, drink Sprite, just go home. That's his message, and it's great. But we digress. Let's go Southwest region. Flower Boy versus Saturation 2. Dylan, back to you.
Ooh, man. Saturation 2.
Oh,
is my pick.
What?
Defend
that, sir.
Well, yeah, I really don't like Tyler the Creator that much.
What? Mr. Production? He does his own beats, he does his own lyrics. What's not to love?
I don't know. He's getting old. He's getting old. I don't know. It's just
he hasn't even reached his final form yet.
His final form? I remember a lot more songs on Saturation 2, and I've went back to a lot more songs on Saturation 2 than Flower Boy. So
that's a good point.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Wrong.
It's my choice.
All right. Well, to create some tension, let's go out of order this time. Brendan, what are you voting for?
This is another tough one. Like, you paired up the Saturation albums with, like, two of my favorites.
Hey, I feel as though you're pointing the finger. The numbers don't lie, okay?
I blame you for this. This responsibility is squarely on your shoulders, the creator of this bracket. This is a tough one because I'm pretty sure I rated Saturation 2 like 9 point something. And Flower Boy was also up there. So that just shows what I think of these two. I think very highly of these two albums. But the production on Flower Boy is so unique. It is so refreshing to hear Tyler the Creator take his production from these skeletal beats you'd hear on Goblin to these grimy, I don't know, over amplified, should I say, and on Cherry Bomb to what it is now with this huge, grandiose, almost shimmering sort of quality to these beats. They're absolutely phenomenal. And the maturation in terms of like lyric ability that he shows on this, and flow. Even Flower Boy is my pick for this matchup because of all that. I think he does a better job ever so slightly. Like, the difference in quality between Flower Boy and Saturation 2 is so small, but I give the edge to Tyler the Creator by an inch.
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't see that one coming.
Hey, Brendan, he just wears his heart on his sleeve, all right? Yeah, these two, again, pretty close, a lot closer than Pure Comedy and Saturation 3 for me. You have something like Flower Boy, where Tyler, you know, is a little bit more personal than he usually is. You get some personalness off of Wolf and a little bit on Cherry Bomb. But Flower Boy, he's just kind of puts it all out there, and it's so relatable to so many people. I mean, just the response this album got was kind of bizarre from someone like Tyler, the Creator. And at the same time, you know, certain songs, Who Dat Boy, just bangs. You can throw that on and just jam. Yes. So good. And then my personal favorite of the Saturation trilogies, Saturation 2, also slaps, I would say. I'm not sure what the difference is between slap and bang.
It's a bop.
It's a bop, yeah. Well, I wouldn't say it's a bop. A bop, I know the meaning of. All right, I can feel a bop. This is a slap, for sure. Okay. Don't put words in my mouth, sir.
Sorry.
But yeah, Saturation 2, also great. But I got to go with the album that I connected to most, which is what my metric has been so far. Got to go Flower Boy.
No.
Ah.
Gosh. And guess what? Brockhampton doesn't even get past second round.
Ooh. Which, yeah, they got shafted.
It's some bullshit. I like to point out that, you know, Flower Boy and Saturation 2.
And they had two albums on here and they couldn't make it past. Gosh. Anyway.
Because they went up against the best album of the year and the second best album of the year.
Yeah, I think they were both number two seeds. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's, you don't want to be a number two seed. You want to be like one or the bottom, you know?
Yeah, Flower Boy, Saturation 2, two very gay albums from hip hop. What a time to be alive. I love it.
So I remember some episode of, I forget, the TV show even, but this one gay guy is like, you know how every straight person wants to set you up with the only other gay person you know? I'm going to be that straight person. I think Tyler, the Creator, oh, I forgot his name. Kevin Abstract. They should definitely date.
That would be weird, wouldn't it? Like in a good way. Like
that would be like the realest hip hop power couple, right there.
Could you imagine like the breakup album? Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, let's see it. Come on.
They'd pass up Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Absolutely.
Oof. Okay.
Our female listeners are now triggered.
And our gay listeners. I feel like that was a little homophobic to say, like, hey, those only two gay rappers I know should date each other. But they should. It'd be great.
We get some great music, but like I don't want to mess with the Beyonce fandom. They're weird.
Oh, the Beehive. Yeah, they'll get you.
The Beehive. Damn, they're going to come at me for getting that wrong, too.
Yeah. I'm allergic to bees, so I can't really poke them too much.
Hey.
Brendan, be careful you don't upset, like, the fish hive or something.
The fish hive?
That's not a thing, but I know you're allergic to fish.
Oh, yeah, true. I am. Yeah. That's why I got a tattoo of one.
Oh, I didn't even connect that. Man, you're so deep. Oh, that's great. I love it even more now. All right. Moving on. Who started that one? Dylan started that one. So I'm starting this one. Rags and Huncho Jack. Again, you have an EP going up against a very strong album. I voted for Rags to move on because I think it does have some definite highlights to it. Some real good songs. Little slow in the middle, as Brendan's grumbling will tip you off to. But yeah, I got to go with Huncho Jack. A lot of people didn't like it. They said it was a lot of the same. I don't think that's necessarily a drawback all the time to be in that certain wheelhouse. And I think the production here speaks for itself. The lyrics, Quavo and Travis Scott. Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. But really, you know what you're getting with Huncho Jack, every single song. It's good. It's a great bop. You know, it's a bop. So I'm going Huncho Jack. Brendan, what are you going with?
I don't really care for Rags. Was it Meditate, JID, those two songs? Was that the same song? I don't know. The first and the last. Those are the only two.
Nowhere Fast, man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. It's a decent EP. If Huncho Jack were an EP, I would still pick it over Rags. They're just all the way through. It's decent. It's enjoyable. You get exactly what you paid for or what you pirated. Yeah. Not much else to really say. You know what you're getting going into it. And if you're a Travis Scott or Quavo fan, you'll be like, yeah, it's all right. If you're not, you're not going to like it. And that's cool. But Huncho Jack, I guess. After we just talked about Flower Boy and it seems like it's like a pretty big difference here.
A little bit. Dylan, what are you thinking?
I was also thinking Huncho Jack, but I do want to say look out for the Ragmans. They're going to be the Earth Rag Gang? The Earth Gang. Earth Gang, they are going to make some waves, I promise you.
Yeah, all right. Calling it. I think JID is going to end up being bigger than Earth Gang. I've seen him pop up a little bit.
We'll see.
All right. Fair. Let's head on over to the cupcake round, as Brendan called it last week. Or the cupcake region, my mistake.
Yeah.
Starting off, dang it, I keep forgetting to introduce all the pairings. Melodrama versus No One Ever Really Dies, and Freudian versus Rainbow. Brendan, I think it's you, Melodrama versus No One Ever Really Dies.
Oh, man, this is a tough one. Melodrama was a phenomenal pop album. I was probably the best pop album of the year. It's really, what's the word I'm looking for? Poignant, concise. It's, I don't know. Yeah, very good summation. Being in a relationship, ending it, not knowing what the hell is going on. It's a very real, it comes from a very genuine place, and that really shines through. It doesn't have a lot of the pretension you would get from somebody that's as big of a star as, you know, Lord is. But the production on No One Ever Dies, iconic, phenomenal. Pharrell kills it. The features, jeez, they all rock. It slaps. The album, even the songs that I'm not as big on, they still slap. You can enjoy them in the context of the without like part singles. And I find myself going back to singles off of No One Ever as Lemon with Rihanna, phenomenal song, Kites, Kendrick, and MIA, like the queen of alternative hip hop. Phenomenal tracks, among others, but those are the two really stick out to me. Yeah, I'm going with No One Ever Really Dies.
Okay. Hey, Brendan, I need you to turn up the volume on your computer real quick. You're a whore. Just a dirty little good-for-nothing slug of a person.
Yeah, tell me that.
Oh, God. Dylan, I'm sorry, I butted in there. What are you going with, Dylan?
I think No One Ever Really Dies is overrated a lot.
You're overrated, Dylan.
Maybe true, but Melodrama is just way better in all respects.
Oh, okay.
But I do have to say, Peyton, you calling Brendan a whore and supporting Melodrama is kind of fucked up.
What do you mean?
It's just fucked up.
Are you slut shaming me?
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Okay, listen, I grew up in the boondocks and we said, okay, I'm going to say it on air. We said fag a lot and we said retard. And I had to get those out of my vocabulary, and I'm still working on it, all right? I'm still working my way to better insults, but I'm not there yet, all right?
Better be real. Bitch.
See, I feel like that's worse than whore.
Whatever you think.
But you are voting for Melodrama, right?
I think that was an appropriate use of horror, disagreeing with your favorite album. No, he's going with No One Ever Really Dies, right?
No, I'm going with Melodrama.
Okay, fuck all right. I am going, if you could not tell, with Melodrama. Personal favorite of the year. We'll get into it later on, but man, great album. I love Melodrama. It grabs hold of you and just drags you through what she's going through. And I think anybody who's been through a breakup, or if you haven't been through a breakup, can see yourself in this album. Just the absolute terrible feeling of feeling like a liability. That one really struck with me. Feeling like you're just not good enough for someone to be even close to another person. That is brutal. And to convey that so well while still being a pop album, still having high points on it. Man, I love Melodrama. I'll talk more about it later. But yeah, Melodrama, a narrow victory, which I was not expecting, moves on.
It was close. Those are two real good albums.
Yeah, yeah. You're don't talk. You, Brendan's out of the podcast. All right, Dylan, all in favor. All right, I got to cool down a little bit. Who's starting this one? Brendan, you started that one because you're a gross bottom feeding scum sucker. Dylan, Freudian, and Rainbow. What do you got?
Well, I am still pissed off that Rainbow beat Black Swan, so it's obviously going to be Freudian.
I forgot. That's how we ended that episode. You immediately called for a break afterwards.
Yeah, that was so crappy.
So you're going Freudian then?
You want to defend that other than just picking it over?
I don't need
to. What do you like about Freudian?
It's better than Rainbow.
In what ways?
Every way.
Specifically?
Everything.
Do you think he makes better mouth sounds?
He makes better mouth sounds. He uses his mouth better. He uses everything about his mouth way better than Kesha.
Can we get a bumper of Dylan saying he uses his mouth better?
Well, I mean, he's the editor, so you're going to have to talk to Dylan about that one.
Dylan, please.
I'm off the clock.
Oh, dang it. Hey, we make, what, like $1.60 a month? I mean.
What's the name of our Patreon?
Patreon.com, I'm assuming, like, slash talking about singing?
No, the dude, like, giving us money.
Gabe the Dungeon Master.
Shout out to Gabe the Dungeon Master.
Yeah, I don't think he listens, but he does support us, so. I don't know what's going on there. I guess he just likes what we're doing.
Respect.
Yeah. Okay, so I am going to make Dylan mad now. I'm going with Rainbow. I'm going to send it to a tie. Freudian, it was good. It was a solid R&B album. Really good R&B albums this year. With SZA and Freudian. I feel like there's at least one more. I can't remember. Anyway, there was... I didn't get on his side entirely. And I don't know if that's a fair negative for the album, but it certainly affects how much I'm going to go back to it. You have someone like Kesha who went through just a terrible ordeal, pours her soul into this album. And I don't know, just the little songs on Rainbow, like Godzilla, just kind of spoke to me in a way that even the best song off of Freudian didn't. So I'm going Rainbow.
You, Brendan. Oh my gosh. This,
call me a whore. Call me a whore.
No, this bottom corner is just so screwed up. In many ways. I can't believe it. I cannot believe this.
You're right. Gemini should have beat Melodrama.
Okay. All right.
In the case of Freudian v. Rainbow, this is a tough one. Like, I had this in my head. I thought I was going to go one way. Hearing you two talk about it kind of puts it in a different light, I guess. Freudian has a couple tracks that I keep really coming back to. Get You, And best part, two phenomenal songs, one on top of the other. And they're phenomenal if you take them in as a whole. But the rest of the album, I think, has a lot of downtime. There's a lot of moments where I'm kind of like, you know, I've heard this before on the album. You know, shut up and play the hits, so to speak. And I feel like there are times where I question the lyrical ability. It's one thing to be blunt and to say exactly what you're thinking, but there's a line on even what I would consider one of the best songs on the album. It's like, making love with you is nice. Like, come on, nice. Super nitpicky, super petty. But I think that is just evidence of a larger syndrome that this album really ails from. And I would say that kind of the blasé lyric choices, his, I don't want necessarily bluntness, because it isn't like it's a truth or anything. It's just kind of oversimplified sometimes. And I think that is a very big detriment to an R&B album. But also on Rainbow, I kind of, for all its grandiosity, for all of its, you know, powerful, sometimes anthemic moments, because of where Kesha's coming from, I sometimes find it hard to find myself in it. However, both these albums do, you know, some phenomenal stuff. Daniel Caesar's voice is incredible. Kesha showing off some pipes I didn't know she had, showing off some lyrics I didn't know she had, and especially the utility, going from some kind of almost 70s disco-y vibe on a couple of the tracks, going country on some, and, you know, obviously maintaining that pop flavor. I'm going to have to give the edge, all things considered, to Kesha with her album Rainbow on this one.
Oh, let's get it inside the box here with Dylan. Dylan, how do you feel after that stunning defeat?
There's no hope for humanity.
What's wrong with Rainbow?
It's shitty.
Oof. Well, hey, let's look at the bright side. That says something good for Melodrama moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I do like Freudian. I kind of shit all over it, but it's not a bad album. It's a quality album. I think Daniel Caesar definitely going to be a guy that's coming up even more in the coming years. But for the level, how polished and how diverse Rainbow is, it's just a more enjoyable listen all the way through, because it's got so many different flavors in there that she peppers and she sprinkles in.
I'm a motherfucking woman, baby. All right.
Dylan, I need a Rainbow cover album from you.
I'll start working on it.
All right, we are down to the final eight. Oof. Take a minute, let it soak in before we kill even more of these. All right, Northwest Region, Pure Comedy versus... Oh, wait, let's do it more official. Pure Comedy by Father John Misty versus Going Gray by the Front Bottoms. Dylan started, so I'm up first. I don't think you can get more of an opposite pairing with Pure Comedy and Going Gray. Pure Comedy is this bitter, dark, angry, not angry, very brutal attack on most basic human tendencies, whether it's to find religion or just, I don't know, look at your phone, technology, self-promotion. I mean, Father John Misty has no regard for what feels good, because it's all brought under attack on this album. And it's crazy that it would be an enjoyable album, because most of it is spent just saying how either insignificant or how weak humans are. And I'm a human and I should be upset, but I mean, he's not wrong. There's also some light in Pure Comedy, but man, super dark album. And then you have Going Gray, which is this fun little jaunt, kind of a look back on past times and happy times, giving the middle finger I've listened to Going Gray so much, and I've connected a little bit with the artist. It's not a super personal album, but man, this is a tough one. I thought I had it. I had it in my head. I have it written down in front of me, which one I was going to go for if these ones came up. Oh, man, I should go with Pure Comedy, but Going Gray is sitting there beckoning as though it's just so much more entertaining, but Pure Comedy has so much more to say. I'm going Pure Comedy in all its dark piano playing glory. Yeah, I should stop there before I talk myself out of it. Pure Comedy. Brenton, what do you got?
Man. Oh, man. I don't even know how to like, you already know. Best album of the year is. But I'll talk it up just for the sake of it. What I really love about Pure Comedy is even though it's such like a, he talks so much shit on people, like you said, in all facets, but at no point does he maintain this idea of I am better, like how I am somehow enlightened. Throughout the whole thing, what really makes it truly enjoyable, truly powerful, is that it doesn't feel like it's trying to distance himself, like he is somehow outside of humanity and he is this intelligent person endowed with the ability to judge everybody else. He does talk a lot of shit about who he is, especially on that 14 minute 10 verse chorusless diatribe. Like the line is something about oh great, just what we all need, a white guy in 2017 that takes himself way too seriously. And I think that that self-awareness really, really lends to the end. Without that, Pure Comedy is just a slog of self-righteous bullshit. But instead, it comes out as a flawless album on the human condition. It is incredible. In the future, in 1,000 years, there will be collegiate classes dedicated to picking apart the lyrics from this album. It is that good. Pure Comedy.
Hot take, hot take. All right, so Pure Comedy is in the final four. Dylan, what would you have voted?
I'm also going with Pure Comedy. I wanted control.
The album or to pick?
The album.
You would have picked Control over Pure Comedy?
No. Just in against Pure Comedy. So
okay, but you would have picked Pure Comedy anyway, is what you're saying?
Yeah, probably, maybe.
That is correct.
Unless I was feeling crazy.
Unless you're feeling crazy, you're the definition of a wild card. Like, this bird outside the window landed on that twig, so I guess I'll go with this way.
Yep.
Oof. All right, Pure Comedy in the final four. Yeah. Let's head northeast. Damn. And Big Fish, I screwed up again. Damn, by Kendrick Lamar versus Big Fish Theory by Vince Staples. Dylan, what are you going with?
I'm going to have to give it to Damn, Kendrick Lamar.
Nice.
Just I feel like there's just a lot more depth to it. I like what Vince Staples is doing, but Kendrick Lamar just could not lose. He always wins.
You kind of knocked the Big Fish Theory album from Vince Staples for its production.
Mm-hmm.
You still stand by that? You still feel like...
Yeah.
Good. Poopy.
Yeah, I guess I've came around a little bit because I'm trying to understand that he did it on purpose. He wanted it to kind of sound grungy and really distorted on purpose, and though I really don't think at times it doesn't sound really good, at other parts it does sound unique and different, and kind of I get what he's going for. So I've came around and kind of respected the decision to make it shitty sounding, I guess.
And especially to hear like that kind of production on a hip-hop, you know, working with a handful of mostly like EDM, I don't know if that's a correct term, producers on this. Like, this is an album that would sound just as good in your car or your headphones as it would at, say, a music festival somewhere. It's got versatility.
For sure. I made a mistake there. Brendan, I think you were supposed to go first.
Doesn't matter.
Do you want first vote next time, or do you want to go before me here?
I'll go next time.
Okay, all right. Damn and Big Fish Theory. There are flaws in both of these. Damn, obviously, highly regarded as best of the year, one of the best of the year. But going through it, it is obviously a masterpiece of storytelling, of a loose concept album to a degree. And there's a lot there to grab a hold onto and to prove Kendrick deserves a lot of the hype behind him. In a way, more so, I would say, than some of his previous work. It's just a lot easier to grasp without dumbing it down. But I mean, there's a few things here and there I don't really like. I don't really like how throughout there's the guy in the background going, "New Kung Fu Kenny! Da 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 da!" Throughout most of it, I didn't understand that stylistic choice, because I mean, 3 years when he drops his next album, it's not going to be New Kung Fu Kenny anymore. Obviously real nitpicky, but just something that stuck out to me. Big Fish Theory, like I said before, it feels a little empty at points. And I love Big Fish Theory. I go back to it a whole bunch. Actually, probably about the same as Damn for the songs. Big Fish Theory is quite a bit shorter, so there's more song, about an equal amount of songs off of it, each of them that I go back to. Ugh. Man, I have these decisions made up going into it, but it's really hard. I like Big Fish Theory so much, but I gotta go Damn. It is deserving of the wave of hype behind it, and it is great, and it's a lot more fleshed out, I would say, than Big Fish Theory. Yeah, I'm going Damn.
Damn!
I think that if we were to put Damn in reverse up against Big Fish Theory, I think that would definitely get the edge. Nah, I have to make that joke every time we talk about Damn.
So stupid. Like, can you agree with me? It's so stupid to put out an album and then tell people, oh, you're actually supposed to listen to it backwards. I don't, what is the point?
I think you can. If you listen to it backwards, it does obviously kind of carry a different concept to it, but no, you can listen to it front to back. I think that sounds good, better, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, should we just throw these two against each other right now and call it good?
Damn, comedy. Pure comedy?
No. No, thank you, sir. Pass. Brendan, what would you have voted?
I would have voted for Damn on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a Big Fish Theory. Fantastic album. Very weird. I appreciate the risks he takes, even if they don't always, I don't know, work, I guess. I think that what he's doing is so far out there in terms of experimentation. He's up there with, he's like a young Danny Brown in that sense, that not in terms of like how he sounds, but what he's trying to do. And I really do respect that. But the way Damn is fleshed out is perfect. It's the perfect album from the past year. There's so much political commentary on it. There's a lot of, like you said, storytelling in only way that Kendrick can deliver it. Yeah, he's just on another level. Get plenty more albums like Damn.
Yeah. Fair. All around unanimous so far with the top seeds. All right, so we got Pure Comedy and Damn in the final four. Let's finish that out. Flower Boy and Huncho Jack. Brendan, which one are you going with?
Flower Boy.
All right, fair. Dylan, oh, which one are you going with?
I am going with Huncho Jack.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Honcho Jack.
Oh my god. Do you have ears, Dylan? Dylan, did you get like
what?
Hit on the head with like a fucking anvil? Like this is, I don't fuck, like an old Looney Tunes cartoon. What are you smoking that good kush?
Yeah.
What the fuck? That is like objectively wrong.
I heard, Dylan, did you crack open a beer while he was doing that?
Maybe.
No, like, what? What? Honcho Jack is decent, don't get me wrong, but on no level as creative. It doesn't even try to be anything that Flower Boy is. On no level is Honcho Jack better than Flower Boy.
I don't like Flower Boy. I don't like Flower Boy.
What's wrong with it?
I don't know. I just do not like it.
You can, you know.
It's too gay. Say it.
Too gay. No.
It's no. Too gay, really?
No, no, no.
Okay. No, okay. I said that.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, yeah, you fuck with saturation. Yeah.
No. I just don't like it. I don't.
Why?
I don't know. I just don't like it.
How am I supposed to fight with you if you don't tell me why you hate this? So I can explain why you're wrong.
I don't know. I don't know.
Do you think the lyrics are dumb? Think they're poopy? Think the beats are lame? Do you think his aesthetic is whack?
Just the whole, the album as a whole doesn't really feel cohesive.
What? In the sense that they just, all the songs don't sound pretty similar, like Honcho Jack?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, noted.
Fair, huh?
Yeah. They're like, oh shit, good point.
No, I get a little bit where you're coming from.
I do not.
The beginning of Flower Boy felt a little bit, I don't even know the right word, not disjointed necessarily, because he is very keen on production and having one song flow into the next. But I didn't really get a sense of where it was going in the first few songs. I mean, like you said, Brendan, Honcho Jack, you know what you're getting going in. It delivers on what it promises. And man, you voted against Melodrama. And for spite reasons, I really want to go with Honcho Jack, but Flower Boy is obviously the better album as a whole.
God.
I gotta go Flower Boy.
It's not even close. Flower Boy is on every single level better than Honcho Jack. I disagree with your assessment that it starts out in a way that doesn't feel cohesive, because I think the intro track really like sets the stage for the whole, and the second track, Where This Flower Blooms, come on, it's got flower in the name.
I don't know, maybe it's just more back heavy.
I think I think Flower Boy is a sort of coming to grips with yourself, being honest with yourself is, I think, really the gist of the whole thing. And I think that it does have a message, which, you know, that's cool. That's cool. And I think it sticks with that in a number of ways throughout. And I would have picked this album if only for the track Boredom. Incredible. Like, in terms of getting a supporting cast around you to, I don't know. I think this, what I'm saying is that on this album, they have the fewest lyrics. Specifically, track 7, track 8. I fuck with every single song on this. Far and away better than Honcho Jack, Dylan.
Ooh, there is spite flying throughout the air.
Was that just because it's got Travis Scott and you're Scott fanboy?
Did you pick Flower Boy just because it's got Tyler the Creator and you're a Tyler the Creator fanboy?
Woo! Woo!
No, I picked it because it's an objectively better album. Like, I don't know. You could put this on.
I mean, how many times have I talked about Travis Scott, and how many times have you talked about Tyler the Creator?
I don't know. When's the last time Travis Scott released a dope album?
I don't know. Huncho Jack.
Huncho Jack, right there. Oof. All right. We got to move on here. What's done is done. Let's put it behind us here.
I still want to. I will fight you in person. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. That'd be a good Patreon fundraising right there.
Tale of the Tape.
Fight.
I'd fight. I'd do it. All right. A lot of money.
We'll talk about this off mic. We'll get the details ironed out here.
It's happening.
Fight.
Stay tuned.
You're going to wear a shoe on your head or something. I don't. Boot.
All right. Melodrama and Rainbow. Let's see. Dylan went first there. I'm starting. I have expressed my disdain for those who vote against Melodrama previously. Brendan, I'd like to take the time to apologize. You're not a whore. You're not a bottom-feeding scumsucker, but Melodrama is amazing. Ah, what more can I say? It bites on to you and doesn't let go. That album has stuck with me, and it just makes you aware of the fact that other people go through similar things. And I think Rainbow, for the most part, has a very positive message, almost similar in the fact that, you know, in broad strokes, a bad thing happened, you lose yourself or your self-confidence, and you need to fight and get that back yourself. And yeah, both of these albums are great. They both have great messages. Melodrama as a whole, as a concept album, flows together. Production is phenomenal. Lord's voice, best voice in music right now for pop singers, I would say. Truly amazing all the way through. Melodrama, hands down. Brendan, what are you thinking?
I think you might be onto something there. I think these two albums... I wouldn't say they're too similar. I would say that these are the two best pop albums, definitely. But I'm going to give the edge to, Melodrama. Ooh. I think stylistically, even though Rainbow is very diverse in the palette that it uses, I think Melodrama really has a theme. It really sticks with it. I think Lord's aesthetic is just more... appealing to me, the listener. And I think overall, just the nuance, the sort of, I don't know, like the album is something bigger than itself in a lot of ways. And I think that what Lorde is doing for someone that this is her second album, first since she's like been an adult, it's phenomenal. I'll give the edge to another.
Brendan, you, a poor choice on your part there. This album, Rainbow, was suggested by B, a faithful listener B. And you know Dylan's going to go with Melodrama. You could have scored some major points there by voting Rainbow.
I have integrity. I will not just side with my girlfriend because she picked it. Not going to happen. I have integrity as an honest music reviewer.
All right, well, let's see how much she likes you come Sunday when this gets put up here. Oh, poor choice. All right, Dylan, sorry. What are you going with, Melodrama or Rainbow?
Melodrama. Yeah. I didn't even want Rainbow to get past the first round.
Rainbow killed Freudian and Black Swan. Man.
Yeah.
That's a feud right there. That's rough. All right. Well, there were no upsets in this bracket. We have the four number one seeds in the final four spot. You know, drama is great. And for ratings, maybe we should have shooken it up a little more. But these four are truly powerhouses of 2017. And yeah, we are so close to crowning a winner. Let's go Pure Comedy and Flower Boy. Brendan, Time to kill one of your babies.
Damn, number one and number two. Oof, this is really tough, but you guys already know what I'm going. Kind of spoiled it at the very beginning of last podcast, even when I reviewed Pure Comedy. That's been my number one. Oh, it's so hard to kill Flower Boy. Can we have two co-champions?
No. Pick one.
I kind of want to pick Flower Boy just to piss off Dylan, but...
Well, right. You know Dylan's going Pure Comedy, so you really raise up the pressure here.
Yeah, true. I pick Pure Comedy. Pure Comedy wins. I pick Flower Boy. Maybe Pure Comedy wins, but I'm not about that. I don't do this for the drama. I just go with my gut. My gut says Pure Comedy.
Very nice. Dylan, what are you going with?
Let's just keep it interesting because I really don't care about either of these albums. So, Flower Boy.
Oh, sending it to a tie. Oh, my goodness.
Why?
So, come on, Peyton.
Okay, I want to know if you picked Flower Boy because you genuinely better album. Pick Flower Boy just because you're a fucking goober.
I'm a goober.
Oh my god, Dylan!
All right,
busting the balls.
Dylan didn't really have a dog in that fight, and man, if I want Melodrama to win, I could really pull a dirty move here. But I will not.
You're sacrificing the integrity of the matchup. It's about the matchup.
Ah, fine. I will go with Pure Comedy. It is truly great and dark and bitter. And man, you really can't say enough about it. I think that episode was like an hour and 45 minutes where we talked about it. And only about 20 of those was Princess Nokia. Pure Comedy has a lot to dig into and explore and look at yourself and how you fit in with the bigger picture. A lot going on in Pure Comedy. Even though strategically Melodrama is my dog, I wanted to get through, but Pure Comedy, I got to go for it. Final two. Spot for it reserved.
Wow.
All right. Damn and Melodrama. Dylan, what are you thinking?
Oh, boy. Well, one of these albums is actually an album that I wanted to get to the final rounds. So I'm going to have to go with that one. It's kind of sad that only one of my albums made it. Only one. That is Damn.
Ah, hey! Hey, no, we talked about the Grammys, all right? And both of these were nominated for Best Album of the Year, and you said Melodrama was better. Where is your stability, Dylan? You wild. Backtracking.
Yep, wild.
Ah! All right, well, I guess I don't know for sure. I don't know for sure what Brendan's going to pick, but I'm obviously going with Melodrama. It is so much more personal, more relatable. It's a fun listen. It is dark. It is so depressing in a way that even Pure Comedy isn't. It is the complete shattering of a person's self-confidence, of a person's self-reliance, of her happiness. And there is a true voyage through it. It's not a breakup album. It's not Taylor Swift singing "We Will Never Get Back Together." It is the breaking down of a person who thought she was happy and her putting herself back together and figuring out that there's more to it than that, that you can be a person again when you feel like you lost everything. So I'm going Melodrama. Brendan, break this tie.
Man, I like this power. It's in my hands right here. I think for this one, I have to go with what has stuck with me the most. You know, on Mellow, it's very personal. It's very relatable. What, I don't know. I don't even know how to, what can I say that you haven't already seen? Baby. I'll just leave it at that. The best pop album of the year, and Damn, which I would say is, what would that be? Like the number three hip hop album. So this is just down to my taste here, I guess.
But no, it doesn't have to be. You could pick the right choice.
I don't feel like Melodrama could be objectively better than Damn, the way Flower Boy is to Huncho Jack, you know?
Let's just pause a second, because I thought I had Dylan's vote here, so I'm going to have to win yours, right?
So, no.
Okay. As a concept album, I think Melodrama fits the tone a lot better. Melodrama, from start to finish, is a concept album. It is a journey, not necessarily a linear storytelling album like Damn, but there is no deviation from Melodrama. Melodrama, start to finish, concept. I would argue Damn is not as well put together as a concept album, which I think is what it was going for.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
You can change your vote.
No, I just wanted to try to sway Brendan's vote to Damn. Brendan,
all right.
Choose what you feel in your heart.
But he has no heart. He is a bottom-sucking, scum-feeding bottom dweller.
Adam, when you listen to an album, are you like, ooh, thematically related? Are you like, this is a great album? You know, at the end of the day, what is the most important factor? Because I think that the total cohesiveness, that is important, but at the end of the day, how much do you like it? How much does that cohesion do for you? And I think that, you know, varies between albums. I think the level of cohesion in terms of concept on pure comedy is very important because it's going for this, you know, big statement piece. But on Melodrama, the way it is a concept album is a way that flows more naturally. Have to take the puzzle pieces and make them fit together because it's such a raw thing. It's such a human thing. And I don't think that's a bad thing that it's easier to do. I think that is something that definitely makes Melo relatable, is that she doesn't try to make you feel something. She doesn't come disingenuous at any point. But on Damn, I think that he took some liberties in the concept, but I don't see that as a detriment to the end. I think that what's really important in Damn is what he'll go into in each song. Each, you know, you can almost analyze these bar for bar, and there's so much, I guess, profound meaning that you can buy that prides himself on not having to use big words to make his similes curve. And he does that in a way that's just as effortless as Lord. But I have to go with what I feel in my gut, what I keep coming back to, and that is Damn.
Boom.
You both?
Do you have anything else to say about that?
You both failed me.
I told you, we should have just put it right to that vote a long time ago. Could have had this shit over with.
Maybe. We have like a collective 3 hours going through this bracket. No, I mean, these are the four top seeds. We obviously rated them all the highest for a reason. I'm not trying to bring down Damn because I don't think it's a good piece of artwork. It's good. It's great. I think Melodrama packs more of a punch. At no point in Damn did I really... I don't know about care, but Kendrick makes you see things from his point of view, which is hard for a rapper to do. You know, he's putting his life out there. Melodrama is more of this insular moment that I think a lot of people go through, and it doesn't have to be a breakup. It could be any sort of loss where you need to decide, am I going to put myself back together, or am I just going to believe what people tell me about myself? I don't know. Melodrama just punched me in the gut a whole lot more. I respect your decision, but you are a little dead to me. Just a little. All right. Final two. Pure comedy and damn. Brendan, since you are the one who's putting their vote on his sleeve, let's yeah. jump the order a little bit. Pure comedy and damn, what are you thinking?
It's pure comedy. That's it. I'll have more to say when you guys say something.
Period. All right, Dylan.
Yeah, Dylan, pure comedy.
Well, I'm going based off what album I go back to more and listen to more, and it's definitely Damn. Especially that song Love lately. It's stuck in my head.
Is that the one where he says, "Let me put the head in"?
Yes. No. That's
no, that's Lust. Obviously, that's Lust. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's to you, Peyton.
All right. All right. I thought the final battle would have a lot more discussion.
All right. So, yeah, before you go and choose, I'm going to try to sway you to team pure comedy.
Okay. All right. Lay it on me.
So in the sense that, like I said last round when we were discussing the two concept albums, Damn, Melodrama, the cohesion on pure comedy, you cited the cohesion in Melodrama as a big factor in why you thought it was so fantastic. The thing about pure comedy is that it is so applicable to, I would say, you know, everybody, at least in America. It is such a critical view in a way that, you know, it doesn't try to put you in the world because you're already in it. And he explains that in a way that I don't think anybody else could. And especially the production on it, absolutely gorgeous. I mean, what's not to love about this album here?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. Dylan, you wanna try to sway me to Team Damn to keep it even?
Well, I really can't because you wanted Melodrama over Damn.
True, but
over pure comedy, Damn is way better. And just pure take comedy, my word for it.
Pure comedy is a flawless album.
Oh no! Okay, all right. Let me jump in here. Melodrama is a flawless album. There is no part or millisecond of Melodrama where I can point at and be like, this is not done well, or this is too much, or this was not enough. Melodrama to me was this perfect, I don't want to say piece, but this perfect.
Okay, Melodrama is out of the question.
All right, but I'm gonna bring it in. Melodrama, there was no part where I could say anything about it. Both pure comedy and Damn, I mean, pure comedy goes on for a tad bit longer than I would say it needs to. Not even Leaving LA. I think that song's pretty good. Some of the other songs just kind of felt stretched a little bit. Damn, I mentioned before, has kind of these weird background vocals kind of going on. Him singing the hook, "Let me put the head in," not really appealing. So this really comes down to which has less nitpicky things to point out.
One thing I want to throw in before you make your call.
Yeah, that'll stretch it out, man.
I think, like, the point of, I don't know, all music is to create something that moves you. I think that is the purest form of, you know, self-expression, the ability to shine a light on something or to say something that makes you feel something. Music is such a human thing. And on the opening track, when he says, you know, "I hate to say it, but each other's God," it's not a novel thing, but the sort of context that surrounds that one line in the first song is, I think, so powerful. It is so just concise. And it's not like that's the only moment on pure comedy where that happens. I think you could pick out a spot in each song that kind of has the point is trying to get across. And there's a moment, I track where that really comes through, and especially the last song where he's talking about, you know, the world's going to end in 20 years or so. But I look at you as our second drinks arrive. The piano player's playing. This must be the place, and it's a miracle to be alive. That's so simple. That is so right to it. I don't know if, in my opinion, that's like the purest form of music. Like, what else could you possibly have to say? That everything's could be terrible, but here we are, and that's crazy.
Yeah, there are those not small, but brief glimmers on Pure Comedy that really, because the album is so dark and is so verbose at points, a song like Smoochie or the last line in the first song, like you pointed out, those little glimmers of light, of feeling like you are complete or you matter, they hit you so much more because the album is so dark throughout most of it. And I don't think he did that to create that feeling. But for most of life is pretty dark at points and bad things happen. An album like Damn can help you point out all the bad things going on in the real world. Pure Comedy points out the bad things going on in the real world. But something like Damn is one person's perspective and how those bad things has affected his life and how he gets through it and is going through it. Pure Comedy is every person's struggle if you look around enough. I mean, yeah, I think most people can relate to political divides in their family or the fact that we're all going to die and the earth is going to die. So my decision goes with Pure Comedy, not with an easy choice there, but Pure Comedy is definitely special. And I don't know about 1,000 years from now if we'll still be talking about it, but I think Damn isn't necessarily the best work by Kendrick Lamar. Pure Comedy is, I don't know if it'll ever be replicated again. And I don't know how you can beat something like that as an artist. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, dark, sad album. And yeah, that's it. The best album of 2017, Pure Comedy.
Damn it.
Ah, oh, I've been saying that since we reviewed it. Vindication.
Close race. You are lucky Melodrama wasn't there, because I would have put Pure Comedy down like a horse with a broken leg if Melodrama was standing next to it. Ugh. Heavy heart. Heavy hearts for Dylan and I. I guess Brendan wins the bracket.
Woo! Yes.
Gah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Dylan, if you had your say, what is best out?
Man, that's a good question. Probably.
What would you have?
Probably Black Swan or Muramasa. Or Saturation. Dang. 3.
Okay. Muramasa does not belong to that list. Black Swan, I can see how you think that. I mean, that's different. If we're talking about how different Pure Comedy is, I mean, Black Swan is definitely different.
I think it's good, but yeah, agree to disagree, because the best album already won.
True. Yeah. And now we're never going to talk about any of these albums again. It's forbidden by podcast rules. No. Oof. Good bracket, folks. I think we have hit our time for this week. Anybody got any hot takes they want to throw out?
No.
Kind of a recurring segment, but we've been going over our time limit recently.
Yeah, we're pushing it right now.
Hot take, Dylan has dementia with his flowerboy take. I'm diagnosing you as senile.
It's all right.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good hot take for the week. This has been Brendan Haley, Dylan Schemenauer, and Peyton Kaiser. We have just named Pure Comedy as the best album of 2017. Let us know what you think on Twitter at About Singing. Email us hate mail at talkingaboutsinging@gmail.com. Patreon, all that stuff is in the description. Yeah, we will be back next week with some new albums to review in depth. So signing off from the land of 10,000 hot takes, we'll see you next week.